Please turn in your Bibles this evening to Jeremiah. I would like to read from Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2. We want to begin with verse 19, read through verse 23, and then verses 31 through 33. There are several long passages of Scripture I hope that you'll go home and read tonight or during this coming week. One would be Jeremiah, well, the whole book of Jeremiah, but especially Jeremiah chapters 2 and chapter 16 and chapter 42. If you'll especially read those three chapters, and then if you'll read 1 Samuel chapter 8. I'm not going to take the time to read all of those passages, but there are a lot of very important lessons found in those three passages of Scripture. Reading now from Jeremiah chapter 2, beginning in verse 19, the Word of God says, "Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts." I don't know of anything worse for the people of God than for them to stop fearing God. And I believe that's one of the most horrible things that we have in America today among Christians is there basically is no fear of God. That was the condemnation that God was speaking about here to the children of Israel, that they had forsaken God and that there was no fear. They did not fear the Lord their God. Verse 20 says, "For of old time I have broken thy yoke and burst thy bands, and thou saidest, I will not transgress." That was the promises. That was the main promise that they had made, is I will not transgress. I will serve you. Now that you have broken our bonds, now that you have delivered us, now that you have helped us, we will not transgress. We will serve you. "When upon every high hill and under every green tree thou wanderest playing the harlot. Yet I had planted thee a noble vine, wholly a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? For though thou wash thee with nitre and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord God. How canst thou say, I am not polluted? I have not gone after Balaam. See thy way in the valley. Know what thou hast done. Thou art a swift dromedary traversing her ways." Verse 31, Jeremiah 2, verse 31. "O generation, see ye the word of the Lord." Notice he did not say, "Hear the word of the Lord." He said, "See ye the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness unto Israel, a land of darkness? Wherefore, say my people, we are lords, we will come no more unto thee. Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number." You notice the first thing that had been said in verse 19 was they had no fear of God, and then in verse, in the 32nd verse, they had forgotten God days without number. Now verse 33. The question is asked, God asked his people, "Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Therefore hast thou also taught the wicked ones thy ways." The text that's on my heart is very similar to what we looked at this morning when the Word of God says, "Thou hast sold thyself to do wickedness in the eyes of the Lord." Thou hast sold thyself. A lot of God's people sell out. There are people that are sold out to God, but there are children of God that sell out to the world. The Word of God here is asking the question of his people Israel, "Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love?" Now, the two words "thy way" here is the way that God had given them to walk. And they were trimming that way. Now, what does it mean to trim a way? It means to gradually cut off a little here and cut off a little there, to begin to leave part of what God has commanded and stop doing that and stop doing this and the things that He's commanded us not to do, to start doing those things. That's the way that the people of God begin to trim the way that God has given them. And before long, they've trimmed it down so much that you don't even recognize it as being the way of God. And so it is that God is asking His people, His chosen people, Israel, He says, why trimmest thou thy way? Why are you cutting away the things that I have given you? And you notice the reason that they were trimming His way, or trimming the way that God had given them. He says, why trimmest thou thy way? What are the next three words there? After He says, why trimmest thou thy way? What is the reason that they were trimming their way? To what? To seek love. Why trimmest thou thy way? Why are you leaving my way? God is asking them. Why are you trimming away at the things that I've taught you to do? Why are you departing from the straight and narrow way, which Jesus tells us about in Matthew 7, 13 and 14? Why are you departing from the straight and narrow way? Why are you doing that? To seek love. Now, the amazing thing is that God is love. And they were forsaking the one who loved them more than anyone else and who had done everything in the world that could have ever been done for them, and had loved them in so many different ways, and they're forsaking the true God to seek love. They wanted another love. You know, sometimes I see men that leave their wives and their children to seek love. And I think, holy cow, how can you leave a family that you love? How can you leave a family that is in so many ways exactly what God has given you? How can you leave that family to seek love? Well, it's even worse when the people of God who have been blessed by God and God has shown them His way and God has poured out blessings in their lives and God has taught them the truth of His word and they've seen so much how amazing it is that God's people who have been blessed abundantly by God, how in the world they could seek another love other than God Himself. It's just amazing. And that's the question that God asked Israel is, why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Why are you doing away with the way of God? Why are you doing away with the way of righteousness in order to seek love somewhere else? Sometimes the people of God, they are a part of the church of Jesus Christ, and they see the truth, and they've been taught the truth, and they've been brought up in the truth of God's Word, and they know God's way, they know the truth of God's Word, and they will gradually begin to go away from the church and go after other false doctrines because they're seeking another love. Why? Why would God's people ever depart from God who loves them more than any person, place, or thing in this world? Why would they ever depart from God? Why would they depart from His way? Why would they depart from His truth? Why would they depart from the paths of righteousness to go a-whoring after another woman? That's what the Word of God is talking about here in the Word of God in Jeremiah chapter 2. Why would you leave the church of Jesus Christ to seek another love? And Jeremiah chapter, let me mention that there are a lot of judgments that came on Israel, but I want you to come down to Jeremiah chapter 6. Remember the question that God asked them in Jeremiah 2 was, why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Now God's going to begin to warn them through the great prophet Jeremiah. God's going to tell them, you better go back to God's way. You have departed from God's way. Now go back to God's way. How many of you in this congregation, don't raise your hand, but how many times have we not gone away from God and then God in His mercy and in His grace has brought us back to His way? So many times we begin to err. I think about that songwriter so often that wrote the song, "Prone to Wander." Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. That's human nature, is to go away from God. Human nature is to go after other loves and leave the one true love, Jesus Christ. But brethren, you will never find true love anywhere except in Jesus Christ. And any young man, I want to say this to all the young people that are growing up. If you think you have to leave the church of Jesus Christ to go be with someone other than someone that wants to be a part of His church, you're seeking love where you ought not to be going. You'll never find the right kind of love if that love leads you away from the truth of God's Word. In Jeremiah chapter 6, the Word of God says in verses 16 and 17, Jeremiah 6, verse 16, the Word of God says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways." Now, what was the one word that they were trimming? What were they trimming back there in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 33? What were they trimming? They were trimming the way. Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Why are you beginning to give up things that are true and are right and are holy? Why are you giving those things up to seek love somewhere else? Now, Jeremiah chapter 6 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way?" You see, there's a right way and there's a wrong way. There's a good way and there's an evil way. The Word of God says that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, and the end thereof are the ways of death. The people of God so often are deceived by the devil and his angels, and they begin to trim away the way of God, and they begin to adopt the ways of the world. You know, churches can be destroyed when they adopt the ways of the world. Churches, when they begin to adopt the ways of the world to try to get more people to come to the church, when the church begins to trim away and not offend anyone by not preaching the whole counsel of God's Word, they're trimming away the truth to try to appeal to more people. They're seeking love. But I'll tell you, brethren, the only people that are going to be attracted by false doctrines, and the only people that are going to be attracted by a watered-down gospel, is people that don't need to be in the church anyway. The Word of God says in Jeremiah 6, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Wherein is the good way?" You know, there's not a lot of good ways. There's one good way. "Wherein is not a good way?" Wherein is, what's the article adjective there? "Wherein is the good way?" There's only one good way. And that's the way that God has set forth in His Word. And there is no other way that's right. People want to depart from God's way. They want to say, "Oh, we've got liberty in Christ, and we don't have to do that anymore. And we don't have to follow that." I tell you, brethren, you're getting further and further and further away from God. You're going to walk down a path that's going to lead you to destruction. You'll destroy yourself when you trim away God's way. The rest of the verse says, you need to, he says, I want to start over with verse 16. "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." Did you know there was a rest for the people of God in the Old Testament? Do you know what they had to do in order to find that rest in the Old Testament? They had to follow God's ways. They had to follow the way of righteousness. They could not trim away the way of God. They could not seek another love. They had to seek the first love. They had to seek the true love. They had to seek God. And did you know there's a rest for the people of God today? And that same requirement that was promised for them in the Old Testament, they had to follow God's way in order to enter into that rest in the Old Testament. The same thing's true of the people of God today. You have to follow God's way. And just as the children of Israel in Jeremiah 2 were trimming away the way of God to seek love, and they found that love, and that brought God's judgments upon them, and they were basically destroyed because they had gone after another love. That way brought hell in their lives instead of rest and peace. Verse 17, after God has said to them, well, verse 16, the rest of that verse says, after God has called them to walk in His way and asked for the old paths wherein they would find rest for their souls, but they said, the last part of verse 16 says, but they said, we will not walk therein. Now, people of God do not start out by that open rebellion that's found in this verse of Scripture. People of God never start out by saying, we will not walk therein. What do they start out doing? They start out doing what Jeremiah 2 says, and they start out by trimming away the way of God. Just a little here and a little there. We'll accept a little more here, and we'll accept a little more there. We'll compromise here, and we'll compromise there. And before long, you'll eventually be in open rebellion to the entire way of God. When you keep trimming away, if you start trimming away, you'll keep trimming away until there's nothing left of God's way. Now go to, I wish you'd go home and read Jeremiah chapter 6 through. What did they say? They said, we will not walk therein. Verse 17, God says, also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. They refused to hear God and to hear the servants of God and to hear the way of God. Now, if you go home and read Jeremiah chapter 6 through 40, you read a lot about the severe judgments of God. God brought Babylon in and brought about chaos, confusion, and destruction. And most of the children of Israel were killed. And there was nothing but a remnant of the children of Israel left. Do you know why God brought in that Babylonian army to Israel and to Jerusalem? He brought it in because they started doing what? They started trimming away God's way. Now in Jeremiah 42, after they have experienced the destruction of the army coming into Jerusalem and destroying the city and killing most of the people, and there was only a remnant of Israel left, then in Jeremiah chapter 42, what do you suppose that remnant who had been through the hell of the Babylonian army coming in, what do you suppose that remnant then said that they wanted to do? They went back to Jeremiah, went back to the man of God, and here's what they said in Jeremiah chapter 42. I'll just read verse 3. I encourage you to go home and read all of 42. The captains of the forces came to Jeremiah in verse 3, and they said, we want you to pray for us. Verse 3 says that the Lord thy God may show us what? The way. Why are they now ready for God to show them the way? Because the Scripture says, my people shall be willing in the day of judgment. You know what happens when God brings His judgment on a person or a family or a church or a nation? Do you know what the people are then ready to do? And they always will cry out and say, just show us what we need to do. Just tell me what we need to do. I had someone call me yesterday. I need help. I need help. I said, you have refused help over and over and over again. And I will not come help you today. Do you understand that? You might not understand that, but I'm telling you, brethren, when you have offered help and repeatedly been refused, they will not listen, they will not talk, they don't want help, and then all of a sudden they call you on Saturday afternoon when you're trying to prepare for Sunday, and they say, oh, now I'm ready for help. Things are a horrible mess. Now will you come help me? I said, there's nothing I can do. You've gone so far away, there's nothing I can do. Listen, brethren, you'll reach that same low ebb when you keep trimming away the way of God. You'll reach that same low ebb where you say, and you'll cry out and you'll say, like this person did, I'm contemplating suicide. I said, well, then you need to call the sheriff's department. You need to call somebody else besides me because I can't keep you from committing suicide. I know that sounds extremely harsh, but you have to know what I've been through for years and years with that individual. You have to have seen the open rebellion. And my heart was in no way touched by all of her crying and screaming and threatening of suicide yesterday. It wasn't touched at all. You can say I was hard-hearted. I don't believe so. because there was some repentance that came forth this morning. You see? You go running out to people all the time. You keep chasing people every time they shed a few crocodile tears and they act like they want to get back in God's way. They're no more interested in God. They want relief from the hell they're in. They don't care about God's way. They just want you to fix a problem that you can't fix. Because when God's people have trimmed away and trimmed away, and then you reach that point of open rebellion where they say, I will not listen and I will not hearken, then, brethren, there's nothing else you can do but back up. I've had to tell people before, you are willfully walking in disobedience to God's word and God's way, and hell is coming in your life. When you keep trimming away, listen, brethren, I'm not immune to trimming God's way. You're not immune to trimming God's way. And you and I need to know that when we begin in any shape, form, or fashion to compromise with the world, and we begin to love the world, and that's really the root of the problem, is we begin to love the world and the things of the world, and that's when we start trimming God's way. Go with me to the New Testament. Look at 1 John. You're familiar with this scripture, but in 1 John chapter 2, not the Gospel of John now, start at Revelation and back up just three little books. 1 John chapter 2. You have three Johns, Jude, and Revelation. In 1 John chapter 2, I want you to notice that the Word of God is warning us that we better not do what happened in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 33. Now, what happened in Jeremiah 2:33? What was the question that God asked them? Why trimmest thou thy way? Is that the end of that question? What are the next three words? To seek love. How can you leave God? How can you leave God's way to seek love somewhere else? 1 John 2:15, love not the world. Is that a problem that we sometimes have, is loving the world? My flesh and your flesh loves the world. And if we don't bring it under subjection, then we'll start loving the world. And when we start loving the world, we'll start trimming away at God's way to seek the love of the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, what can you do to not love the world? What can you do to not trim away God's way to seek love? Well, the answer is in verse 24. Come down in 1 John. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 says, love not the world. 1 John 2 verse 24 tells you what you can do. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. You hear what he's saying there? Let that, what is it that they have heard from the beginning? The old paths, the old way, the word of God. Let that which you have heard from the beginning, let it remain in you. Why? If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. If you hold on to the Word of God, if you'll follow the ways of God, if you don't trim the way of God to seek love, then you're going to continue in His Word and the truth will make you free. And when you continue in His Word, you will continue in the Son and in the Father. Go with me to James chapter 4, back up just about four or five pages to James chapter 4, and notice verse 4. James chapter 4 and verse 4. James chapter 4 and verse 4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses. Now, there is physical adultery, and I want to warn everybody here against physical, literal adultery. I also want to warn you against committing adultery in your heart. I also warn you against committing spiritual adultery. And that's what Israel really did back there in Jeremiah chapter 2. They began to commit spiritual adultery when they began to trim away His way to seek, what were they seeking? To seek love somewhere else. James chapter 4, God speaks to His people. He says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Have you ever wanted to be friends with the world? Are there times that you want to be friends with the world? Are there times that you don't want to say anything to offend a worldly friend? I want to warn all you children that are fixing to go back to public schools. You better be careful, because you are liable to want to be friends with unfriendly or ungodly people. And when you go back to school and you start being friends with ungodly people, God's judgments are going to come in your life, because you have trimmed yourself to seek love outside the love of God. Be careful about what kind of friends you choose. And if your friends are living in any way that's contrary to God's word, you have the responsibility to talk to them, to convert them, and to get them in God's way. Don't let them get you away from the way of righteousness. The friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So when I trim myself and I do away with his way to seek love, and I become a friend of the world, I want you to know that I have just become the enemy of God. Go with me in closing. Well, there's so many things in closing. In Revelation chapters 2 and 3, I'm not going to turn there, but in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, do you know what most of those churches did in Revelation chapters 2 and 3? Church at Ephesus. Tell me, how did the church at Ephesus trim? How did they trim God's way to seek love? They left their first love, didn't they? Jesus spoke to the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4. He says, I have somewhat against thee. Thou hast left thy first love. You know what they were doing when they left that first love? They were going to seek another love. They'd gone after another love. They had trimmed themselves. They had trimmed God's way. Every one of those churches, the church at Laodicea, what was the problem there? They were lukewarm. How did they get lukewarm? They were trimming. They were trimming away the right way. Go with me in closing to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. The Word of God says, and be not conformed to this world. That's one of the biggest problems I think we all have, is that we want to be conformed to this world. Do you ever have trouble just really, really, really trusting in the Lord? Do you sometimes think that you have to do all the preparation for the difficult times that are coming up? Let me tell you something. All the preparation we can do, if our number one trust is not in God, then all the preparations we do will be to no avail whatsoever. I can have all the gold and silver and food and clothing and everything else that a person could possibly attain, and it be of no value to me whatsoever in hard times if I have let that become my confidence, rather than God being my trust. Romans 12 verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know what that good and acceptable and perfect will of God is? That's God's, give me a three-letter word, that's God's what? That's God's way. Thank you, Brother Mike. That's God's way. May God help us to not be conformed to this world, but to follow God's way and never trim his way to seek love, is my prayer for Christ's sake.